Welcome back to Double Indemnity, the podcast.
Welcome.
My name is Emily Klaser.
My name is Jonathan Pyle.
Here we like to talk about new movies and how we feel about them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Jonathan's a cinephile. I just like eating popcorn. That's the gist.
You eat popcorn today?
Yes. Today we're going to discuss a new movie. Before we get into it, though, please be prepared for lots of spoilers. We talk about pretty much the entire plot of the movie and what it means, or at least what we think it means, or what Jonathan has found on the internet that it means.
Yeah, some of them is what I came up with on my own, and others
Jonathan,
is from the internet.
Yeah. I come up with things sometimes too. Yeah, so be prepared for lots of spoilers. If you don't want to be spoiled, go watch the movie and then come back and we can talk about it.
For decision to leave.
Yeah, well, I wasn't ready to ask you to say what the movie was. I was going to prompt you when it was time. You're just so excited to say what the movie name was.
Whoops.
Well, now that Jonathan's totally spoiled it, we have to cancel the podcast. We can't do it today.
That's it.
The whole flow is off. I can't do it anymore. Gets up and leaves. Was that your decision?
Yes.
To leave. Yeah, well, I had one more thing I wanted to talk about before we got into the movie, and that was that you can follow us on Letterboxd, where we post the movies before we talk about them, if people want to talk about them with us. Let's see. I don't think anybody did.
I do not think anybody did, no. But you would get a notification if they did.
I don't know if I have my notifications turned on for Letterboxd. I'm not like a diehard Letterboxer like Jonathan.
What?
Yeah, nobody did. Not this time. Okay. So now that I've done all my introductions, Jonathan, you may tell us about the movie we are talking about today.
The movie is Decision to Leave. I might have already said that, maybe. directed by Park Chan-wook.
Also, be prepared for us to butcher everybody's names, and it's because we're completely uncultured and we don't speak Korean or Mandarin, so that's why.
Very true.
Yeah.
Good disclaimer.
Just apologizing ahead of time. We're doing the best that we can.
Yeah. Yes, South Korean director. He also did The Handmaiden, Old Boy. I've seen like most of The Handmaiden, and Old Boy is really good.
Never heard of those.
And then Stoker. It's got Nicole Kidman in it. That's a good movie.
Stoker. I love Nicole Kidman.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
And then Lady Vengeance and Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance.
Hmm.
It's called like the Vengeance
was
trilogy.
Was that like a one movie title, or was that two movie titles, one being a sequel?
That was two. So it's two movie titles. It's called the Vengeance trilogy. It's like it goes in order: Lady Vengeance, Old Boy, Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance.
Okay, Old Boy doesn't make sense, though. It should have been Old Vengeful Boy or something, because they all needed to have vengeance in it.
Old Vengeful Boy.
Only two had it. The other one needed it.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I would have had no idea.
Actually, is it? Let me look up if that's correct.
So you've seen Old Boy, didn't you say that?
Yeah, that's
But then how did it
movie.
Make any sense if you haven't seen the other two?
They're not like...
Oh, wait, are you about to tell me...
They're not connected,
but they're connected.
Yes.
Is this a Black Mirror moment?
Kind of. It's like how... Never mind you. Never mind.
Are you not going to tell me because you think I'm too stupid to understand?
It's like how the movies Sicario, Hell or High Water, and Wind River are like the Frontier trilogy. They're not connected by characters, but by like themes.
So the director just got really into that at that time or something?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you could have just said that. Yeah. They're not connected.
When
you say they're connected, I think it's like an actual, like, the Hunger Games, you know?
It is not like that. Not that, I don't think.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
But yeah, Old Boy is a fantastic movie. Great, very violent plot twist. This movie.
It's a good name for a movie because it doesn't make sense. Like an old boy,
mm-hmm.
like an old kid. It doesn't make sense.
That's true.
Yeah. Carry on.
Never seen an old kid before.
Yeah.
Nothing I can know of. And this is definitely his most, like, how do I put it? Like, restrained movie in
what
terms
does restrained
of,
mean?
Like, imagery. Right. Like, very, it's not.
Is it usually gory or something?
It's usually more gruesome than this.
Hmm. This wasn't very gruesome at all.
No, not at all. And then he also directed a movie called Thirst, which Seems interesting.
Thirsty
people. Anyway, this stars, excuse me, I apologize, Tang Wei as Song Se-rae. How do you say they pronounced it?
It was like Se-lay or something.
Se-lay.
I don't know. I looked up how to pronounce it, but I can't remember.
So-rae.
Sure. That's what we'll say for now. So-rae.
Park Hae-il as Hae-jun, or as the detective.
Hae-jun. Okay.
And then Tang Wei as the, not titular character, but the femme fatale.
What is a femme fatale?
It's like a word like, for kind of like a female kind of almost criminal mastermind, but she's like very mysterious and like very calculated.
Okay, so just the main lady.
Yeah
That was Song Se-rae though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay,
but yeah,
I thought you already said her name.
Maybe I did. Who knows.
Okay,
and then Lee Jung-hoon as Jung-an as the detective's wife.
Jung-an. Okay. I feel bad I don't know any of the characters' names very well, but when they were speaking in Korean, it's hard to pick up where they're pronouncing the name because you can't differentiate any of the words when we speak no Korean.
Yes.
Yeah. So it was hard to pick up their names, even if we were like reading them in the subtitles. Obviously, we had the subtitles on.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, we learned Korean for this movie.
No, we didn't.
Yes, let me read the synopsis. Excuse me. So per Letterboxd, Hae-jun, a seasoned detective, investigates the suspicious death of a man on a mountaintop. Soon he begins to suspect So-rae, the deceased's wife, while being unsettled by his attraction to her. And yeah, that's...
What about the box office and everything? Budgets?
Oh, I didn't prepare that. I forgot about that.
Jonathan coming unprepared to the podcast.
Yeah, I did. The budget was estimated $10 million, which is pretty low.
Why'd you look at me for validation for that? I can't. I'm not going to fact check you.
And then box office, U.S., but $23 million. Not sure how much it was in Korea, but it was in the top box office for South Korea for that year. For last year, 2022.
That's cool. Yeah, I only saw ads for it at the movie theater. Like, we have a fancy theater near us that shows like more indie films and like unique movies you wouldn't normally get to see at normal theaters, and that was the only place I saw ads for it, was there. Mm-hmm. And that's the only reason I had heard of it.
True.
Yeah, so I don't think it was a big thing in the States, at least.
It was their South Korea submission for best international film for the Oscars.
Didn't it win at the Cannes Film Festival?
It won best director at the Cannes Film Festival.
Is it pronounced Con?
It's either Can.
I think it's Can.
I think it's Can. I don't know.
You're the movie guy. Aren't you supposed to know that?
You don't pronounce the S. I know that.
Canis? Why do they even put S's there then?
I don't know.
I don't
work.
Speak any French. Not a lick of French. Nor Korean.
No French today.
Okay. Did you have anything else you wanted to intro?
And this is his first movie in how many years? 8 years?
You know what would be helpful is if maybe you wrote these things down before we do the podcast.
You rushed me.
You have like 5 apps open. I wasn't rushing you. I told you to take as long as you needed.
Well, whatever.
Okay. All right, do you ready to talk about the plot? Do you want to talk about the plot?
I'm ready to talk about the plot.
We're going to talk about the plot right now. So, this movie is really fast-paced, and it was so hard to, like, take notes the whole time. Because I was, like, so frazzled just trying to, like, understand what I was reading. And also the way that, like, I don't know if it was translated weird or the way that the dialogue was written, but like I would have to read sentences twice to understand what they were saying or like what they were trying to say, because it would be like a weird way to say something or the response like wouldn't really make sense. So like I was really struggling to like type up the plot. Like the whole time I was like, pause, like I was screaming pause because I needed a minute to like catch up or like have to ask Jonathan like what did they just say or like what did that mean. because it was very confusing. And I think there were a lot of undertones and nuances that maybe I didn't pick up, but it seems like you're going to talk about them because you were kind of freaking out about this after when you were looking it up.
The more I think about it, the more I like it.
Oh, we didn't tell our stars. Oh my God, we're all over the place. I gave it 4 stars.
You gave it 4? That is so much higher than I thought you'd give it.
What would you give it?
I gave it 4.
I thought it was pretty interesting. I thought it was a good story. It was fun. It's kind of quirky. Sometimes it kind of felt like a college student's final film. Do you know what I mean?
What do you
mean? Like, some of the shots were just very, like, I don't know. They seemed like basic, trying to be... Really? Super unique. Like this shot at the end when he like was putting eye drops in, it was super close up on his eyes. It felt like kind of just like arbitrary shots that were trying to be artsy, but I think it was intentional. But it kind of reminded me of like a final senior project for like a film student, you know?
That's interesting.
I don't know. That's what it reminded me of, but in a good way. All good things. So yeah, the movie starts out with these two guys at a shooting range, and they have like vests on so you can tell they're like cops, and they're talking about a case that they're working on, and they're basically like doing investigations into this guy called Ji Gu, I think was how it was written in the subtitles. I don't think I'm pronouncing it right, but they called him Ji Gu, and they're trying to find this guy, and they're doing like detective work on it and everything, and then they cut to the cop. What's his name? The main cop?
Hey June.
They cut to Hey June, and he's like driving in the middle of the night, going to do like a stakeout, and he almost like falls asleep at the wheel. And this is like when they introduce like he doesn't sleep at night.
Extreme insomnia.
He's got really bad insomnia. So normally what he just does is like stake out their suspects and everything at night. So that's like where they introduce that, and he like almost falls asleep at the wheel, literally. And he's like, it's not that like I want to do stakeouts, it's that I do stakeouts because I can't sleep, is what he said. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then they cut to him like with his wife, and he seems like he really like loves her, like he seems happy, and he's like making her dinner, and you find out that him and his wife are actually long distance, and he's like so happy to see her, and he makes her like dinner, and he's like, I want to make this good food for you. Mm-hmm. And it makes him happy to do it for her, and they seem like they have a cute little bit of a relationship, and she makes jokes and he laughs at her jokes and everything. Like they're in like a good place in their marriage. You think that they really love each other. So that's kind of how they introduce his character. Like he's a long distance cop from his wife. He has sleeping problems and he's a little bit obsessed with his job, basically.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he's very calculated in his job. And
yeah, he's super obsessed with his job. And his wife thinks that like his job is what the only thing he couldn't live without, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so then they cut to the cops being at a crime scene, and you see there's this rich guy at the bottom of a cliff. He's got a Rolex on. He's got whiskey in his bag, because that's what I always take when I go on hikes.
I love to get a whiskey on a hike.
Yeah, I was like, why would you bring that with you on a hike?
Really stimulates your senses. Or is that 5-Gum? I don't
know. Is that their thing?
That's their motto,
I haven't seen a 5-Gum commercial in so long.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. You know what? I don't really chew gum. I like gum, but yeah, I don't think I could
use
some gum.
You don't go to the store and go like, I could use some Orbit.
Yeah, it was almost like not good to have gum in high school because then everybody wanted your gum.
Yeah, you'd take out gum and it'd be gone in like seconds.
Yeah, it really would. You couldn't let anybody know. I remember though really being into gum in high school because I would get the big packs, you know? Like you know the big like boxes that you could get that like have the click top open?
Yes.
The extra gum or something? I remember super into those.
Oh, extra. Yeah.
But I guess I don't really think of having gum now, and I feel like it would be unprofessional to have gum like at work. You know what I mean?
Mints are probably better for work.
I come home at lunch, so I brush my teeth after lunch.
That's crazy.
I'm highly paranoid though that I'm the girl with bad breath, and I don't want to be the girl with bad breath.
No, you usually are.
Hey, I always tell you when you have bad breath. Like, I blatantly will tell you. And
I tell you too.
I don't tell you that often. Do you know what I mean? So you have pretty good breath. But maybe we're just desensitized to each other, like, and how gross that we are.
We might be.
I think that's what it is.
You're
just
disgusting.
Reached that point. Okay. We're just going to move on from this. So.
What were you talking about?
We were talking about the guy who had a bag of whiskey. No, we were talking about how we have bad breath.
I totally forgot.
Yeah, that was a big tangent. So then they cut to the mortuary, and you end up meeting the guy's wife. And she seems sad. Like, she's crying. She's upset. And his wife is So Ray.
It's like, hey June, like hey May, hey February.
I was gonna say like so fly, but like so May, like it is May. So the because hey June.
Hey June, it's a song.
Yeah, is that what the cop's name is? What was the cop's name again?
Hey June.
Oh, okay. Hey June in so May. That's how I remember
so
it.
Ray.
So May.
So Ray.
So Ray. So sorry. I'm so sorry. I am not trying to be offensive. I'm like really bad. Here's my problem. I am not a verbal learner. So if you tell me something, I will forget it. So I'm going to have to ask him 10 times that during this. It's not because I'm not trying. It's because I am
that
useless.
Is a fact.
It's very bad. Okay. So yes. So Ray meets Hey June. You proud of me?
You got it.
At the mortuary. She's crying about him. And she says she worries every time he goes out to the mountain that he might die at last. And the guy was like, at last? Like you've been waiting for him to die? Like, I feel like he noticed it was a weird thing to say. And then okay. So then you find out that So Ray was actually abused by her husband. He would like beat her up and everything. He was a very bad husband to her, and she says that he died the way he should have, with the rain washing away all of his blood, because I guess he was like a clean freak or something, and so the rain washing away all of his blood would make him like, I don't know, it would be fitting for him.
Oh,
I guess
I don't remember that.
Yeah, and then the guy laughs about it. Yeah, they laugh. Oh, she laughs about it. Sorry. I was typing so frantically during this because I was so frazzled. So then she laughs after she says that. And the cops are like, this is so weird. And it's like, from the start, she is suspicious. And like, you can tell that like the guy just looks past it because he likes her. But what's weird is it's like he almost likes her because she's suspicious. You know?
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
She wasn't just like the crying, sad wife victim situation. Like, she had this weird like upper hand in the situation that he liked for some reason. And I was like, that is creepy. Like, you are a little messed up, my dude. Like, I thought it was weird. I don't know.
I think it was. I'll get into that later, actually.
Oh, okay. Continue. You're gonna wait on it?
Yeah,
okay.
I'll wait.
Everybody, I can feel the anticipation in the room. Yeah. So then the cops. Yeah. So then they kind of introduce how, like, what's his name?
Hey June.
is like, he's really troubled and he has issues separating his work from his personal life. And you see him like being intimate with his wife and he's just like super distracted by it, and she can tell. And then she says to him, we need to have sex every week because it has so many health benefits. And I was like, that is so romantic.
That's exactly what I want to hear.
That's exactly what you want to hear, right? And I was like, that's weird. Like, you could tell that's kind of when they introduce his wife as being a little type A, you know? Like, she has everything planned. She knows what's right. She knows what's not right. And, like, you can tell that he is kind of irked by it. Like, I think what he likes in So Ray is that she's so, like, wild, you know, like she has fire inside of her.
Yeah.
Whereas his wife is very like settled and like concrete and decisive, and he doesn't like that. I guess it's not exciting for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think I'm wild or type A.
No.
I think I'm just all around frazzled all the time.
Yeah. I could agree with that to an extent.
Yeah. What would you say you are?
Ignorant.
No, I wouldn't say ignorant. I'd say you're along for the ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's what
I'd
say you are.
Anyways, let's continue on this ride, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's continue on this ride. Wildest ride in the wilderness. All my Disney fans out there. Okay, so then you find out that the wife, her job, So Ray, is to be a caregiver to the elderly. And her boss speaks very highly about her, says she's very well renowned, she's super good at her job. And so the cop is like, okay, well, let's stake her out.
Yeah.
So he goes and he watches her while she is working with one of her patients, her Monday patient. I don't remember her name, but this is a patient she always sees on Monday. And this is actually the patient that she had an alibi for. So her alibi was that she had been working with that patient that Monday when her husband died. And she had proved it because she called on her patient's phone, her manager, to say, yep, I'm at work. So I guess that's how their managers like verified that they were where they were, is they called the patient's phone. So that's what her alibi was. And there's even CCTV footage of her going in and out of the building that day. So they're like, solid alibi. And so at this point, you kind of assume that everybody thinks it was an accident, like the guy fell or something. And like, you can tell Heijun is a little like sus about that. Like, he still wants to investigate, but it's almost like everybody around him thinks it's kind of like a solid like accident or suicide case, but he is actively pushing the investigation. And I think it was 50% because he was intrigued by her and 50% because he thought she could be also like guilty of the crime. Yeah, it was crazy.
I just want to say the shots while they were investigating the crime scene in the mountain are like so well done. I think this might be the best shot film of the year.
Really?
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. Like, when they were scaling the mountain, the way that they were like following them up was super cool. And there were some good shots. There were some definitely good shots.
Yeah. And then the editing, like,
it felt very raw. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It felt raw and a little unhinged, which I guess was the movie in a sense.
True. Yeah. And the way that like they match cut, like,
what does that mean?
Scenes together and like fades from one image to another, or one person's face will transition or will fade into the shot as well.
I didn't even notice that, but I bet it was wonderful. I bet it was so good I didn't even notice it. You know it's bad editing when you notice the editing, and I didn't notice the editing at all, so it must have been fantastic.
Yeah,
true. Mm-hmm. Or at least up to my average expectation.
Better than Elvis.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
So they are still at the stakeout, right? And they call her and they're like, hey, we need you to come give a DNA sample. We found some DNA under your husband's nails. And so she's like, I can't. I'm at work. I have to watch my old people. And so he's like, okay, I'm going to make my partner go watch your old person so that you can come with me and get a DNA sample and take your statement and everything. So she does it. She goes with him. And she says, it was so weird. When she was like, oh, I can't go with you right now, she was like, oh, old people come before dead husbands.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like such a weird thing like, to say. I guess, pretty blunt. Yeah. But I think maybe her statements were also very blunt because there were a lot of times when she would talk about how she was not a native Korean. She was from China. And so her Korean wasn't very good. So sometimes she would say things that sounded kind of weird or blunt. And maybe that was because like she was translating and like not super good as Korean, as she would say.
I think that was a good, like a weird choice, but it really worked well to have her Korean be a little off.
Mm-hmm. It did work well. And I think that he liked that. I think he was intrigued by it. Like, he never really understood what she was saying, you know? Which I thought was good. I thought it was a good little choice.
And she always spoke in, like, she never spoke directly. It was...
I know, she was always speaking. It was a puzzle. It was honestly annoying. Because sometimes I'm like, just get to the point, honey. Just
give it to me straight.
Give it to me straight.
Not curvy.
Do you have something to say? So you picked up your phone.
Oh, no, I'm good.
Oh, okay.
Just readjusting.
Just trying to give you, you know, let you have your moment.
Thank you. That'd be a first.
That's not true. Moving on. So she comes into the office and she shows him all these scratches that she has on her legs. And she says that she gave them to herself to stop her husband from making her go to the mountain. So she was like harming herself, I guess, to be like, I don't want to go to the mountain. Don't make me go. And he was like, fine, I won't make you go. And the reason that he didn't make her go is because he was trying to grab her hands to make her stop scratching herself. And when he did that, he got her DNA under his nails. Mm-hmm. And that is how that was on his nails. But I'm sitting here like, come on, my dudes. If you are married to somebody, like, obviously your DNA is going to be on their body. Like, you know what I mean? Like, my DNA is on your shoulder now that I touched it. Ugh. You know what I mean? I just feel like it's not incriminating if you are on your partner DNA-wise. Or in any sense of the word.
I guess that's a good point. Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was weird. But I guess because maybe there's like a big chunk of skin or something under his nail. I don't know. It's really gross. I don't want to think about that. But moving on. So she then quotes Confucius when she is asked, why don't you like mountains? Why don't you want to go to the mountain? And she goes that benevolent people like mountains and wise people like water. And she says she likes water. So I have a question to pose to you, Jonathan. Do you like mountains or water?
I would probably go water.
Honestly, I'm a beach girl, way over a mountain girl.
Yeah.
Like 100% a beach girl.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me
I guess too. We're really wise. That's what it says about us.
Oh, we already knew that.
What makes someone so benevolent if they like mountains? Why did Confucius say that?
It's confusing.
Yeah, I am Confucian.
When I first saw that name, I think it was like middle school or something, I was like, what is that? Somebody spelled confusing wrong. How do they spell it so wrong?
Did you really think?
Yes.
I probably couldn't spell confusing. I can't spell anything. I couldn't spell Confucius. It took me a couple tries to get it right on here, actually. Yeah, so she says that, and he's like blown away by it, and he's like, me too. He like whispers it to himself. Mm-hmm. He's like, wow, she's so wise.
She's so wise.
Yep. And she says that, and then she laughs, and he's like, why are you laughing? And she says, I laugh when I'm nervous because my Korean is so bad. Whenever I say something badly in Korean, it makes me laugh. And the cop buys like it. He's like, okay, cool. She's totally not just laughing about the fact that she potentially like killed her husband and her husband is dead. So then this part's crazy weird. So he buys her like a bougie sushi dinner to eat. And
in the police station.
In the interrogation room, he has it delivered, like an expensive sushi dinner. And then he takes her to go brush her teeth afterwards. Like, he gives her a toothbrush. And then the other cop is, like, so annoyed because he never gets to buy expensive food. He's like, what the heck? They have the Supreme sushi boxes.
It's like, is this covered?
Yeah.
Weird, many weird, funny moments in this movie.
Yeah, his partner was really funny.
Yeah.
His partner had some good moments. There was some good humor, only with the partner, though. When it was more lighthearted, and then when they got a little crazy at the end, they didn't have the partner there anymore, and there really wasn't any humor then.
That's true. I didn't think there was a need.
I didn't think there was a need at that point either, because you were kind of invested into like the thriller aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. The mystery.
The mystery.
There are a lot of images that are like look like waves, but also mountains, like the wallpaper. In
oh my gosh, that's so true.
So
I remember thinking her wallpaper was cute.
Survey's house, it's like, well, that looks like ocean, but then you look at it more, it's like, it's mountains.
Or oh
the
my
other way
gosh
around.
So she was kind of a mixture of both, if you think about it, because later on in the film she goes to a mountain, right? She says, this is my mountain, I love this mountain.
Mm-hmm.
So she is both.
She's benevolent and wise.
Yep, she is. That she is.
That she is.
That's how I hope people, describe me. Benevolent and wise. Those are not words I would think of together. I don't ever say the word benevolent, though. I don't whole, like...
Yeah, I mean...
I don't really know what it means. Like, angry, aggressive? That's what I think it means.
I don't really know how to describe it either.
See, because you don't know what it means.
Do you want me to look it up?
No.
Just so we both know?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think it meant aggressive. Well-meaning and kindly.
What? I thought benevolent was like a bad thing to say.
I thought being a
mountain person was bad. Okay, so you're wise if you like water and you're kind if you like mountains.
She's wise and kind.
I really always thought benevolent was a bad word. I thought it meant you were like a bad person.
Sounds like a bad word.
It sounds like a bad
but
word.
It's not.
That's weird. Okay, so then this is when you realize that she likes him and she knows that he likes her because she goes to the bathroom and when she's brushing her teethies, she puts perfume on her Band-Aid, like from where she had the scratch on her hand. And I'm like, my dudes, that is weird. And then he smells it and he loves it and she notices it and she was like, ha ha ha. So you know what I'm gonna do from now? I'm gonna put perfume on my Band-Aids
all the time.
Yeah, that's how you get the men, ladies. That's how you do it.
That's how she got me.
That's I put my Band-Aid in his face.
She was covered in Band-Aids.
Don't say that.
Head to toe.
Band-Aids are nasty. Yeah, so I was like, what even? That was so weird. So they get back to the interrogation room, and he talks about how she actually came over on a boat of immigrants in 2015, and all of the other immigrants got sent back to China, but she did not. And she said, my grandfather is a fancy diplomat. And then that was the end of that storyline, and I didn't really understand the significance of it.
I thought that storyline came back. I think it did. The editing in this movie was fantastic, but at times I was like, whoa, I just lost track of what just happened in that scene.
Oh, yeah. That happened to me all the time. Do you think that was because of the editing?
No, I just think that's how the movie was made. I don't think it was like necessarily an error on their part. It's just, it demands really intense attention.
I guess.
This film reminded me a lot of Burning, another South Korean movie.
Burning? Oh, I thought you said the film was burning, and I'm like, is this some slang that I don't know the meaning of? It's burning.
This film's burning up.
Because people say, like, that's fire, you know?
It's
people
gas. Say that. It's flame.
No one says gas.
People say that.
Do you have gas? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, not at the moment.
Moving on. So, then they get interrupted and they have to go chase people because they're cops and that's their job.
Well, it's his.
So they go looking for Ji-gu because he has been spotted.
The goo.
And this scene was funny because they were like running up a mountain aggressively.
His partner, like,
yeah,
he looks up the stairs and the shot of him is like, because you don't see the stairs, you're looking at his face.
Yeah, yeah. So the partner runs up a mountain, right? And then he gets to the top and you see his face and he's like, no. Like, you think he's like freaking out. And you're like, oh my God, his partner must have just been killed in front of him. Yeah. But it's just because he sees like a 100 stairs and he has to go up next. It was really funny. It was a good shot. Oh, I liked that part. That was probably my favorite scene, was them running up the mountain there. It was just so funny.
And then they get to the top and they're just like exhausted.
Yeah, they took a break like to breathe.
Speaking of,
sorry, I'm in my yawning fit phase right now. So for some reason, So Ray followed him, and I don't know how, because they ran like the most ridiculous route to get where they ended up, and she watched him and he knew she was watching him, and it was weird. That's all I have to say about that.
Well,
but yeah, when they were at the top, they fought, did man things.
Okay, the chainmail glove, that was so cool. Come on.
Are you kidding me? You thought it was cool?
Like,
I was like, this dude keeps this in his pocket all the time. He put on a chainmail glove like a knight would wear, and it was so he could grab a knife out of the guy's hand, which I guess is cool, but I'm like, it's not that cool if you think about the fact that he just like carries around a chainmail glove, which probably weighs like 5 pounds in his pocket.
But he carried all sorts of stuff in his pockets. He had everything in his
pocket, man.
And he had tons of pockets. Like, I think he had
long time,
like the
pocket man.
He had the lip balm, he had a bunch of other stuff.
He had
in his
mints
pockets.
Yeah, he was known for his pockets. Iconic pocket.
A man of many pockets.
A man of many pockets.
But what is cool is that he knew exactly where everything was. His wife didn't know exactly where everything was in his pockets. But So Ray knew where everything was. And she spent less time with him than his wife, obviously.
So it was kind of to show she knew him better than his wife did. Well, I don't go rummaging through your pockets all the time. You know, Jonathan is very particular about what he puts in what pocket. He puts his phone in one pocket and then his wallet and keys in another pocket.
Which one is it? You know this.
I don't.
Answer.
I actually don't.
You do not know
I
this.
Think your phone goes in your right pocket, because when you're driving and I want your phone because I forgot mine, I will get it out of your pocket, correct. And it's the pocket closest to me. So that's how I remember it. But like, if you asked me to do it off the top of my head, I wouldn't know.
You only need to remember one of them to get it right. So
I know that the wallet and key goes in one, and then the phone goes in the other.
Yes.
Well, I never have pockets because I am a woman and we have no rights.
Well, let's just keep on going.
LOL, I'm kidding. But yeah, I don't have pockets in my pants. And if I do, they're fake pockets.
Well, get better pockets.
Or they're like only 2 inches deep.
That's true. Yeah, that whole fight scene was very cool, I thought.
Yeah, it was okay. It was okay. And then he yelled at his partner for not being in good enough shape. But you know what? Let the man be, you know?
It was like 20 flights of stairs.
It was extreme. It was beyond what he should be expected to be able to run. To catch criminals, of course, because I would know. The right expectation to catch criminals.
Yes.
Yeah, so he then stakes out So-Rae that night, and she finds him sleeping in his car, and you're like, huh, he never sleeps. He's sleeping in his car. You know what I mean? And she takes a picture of him, which I was like, that's weird, but okay.
Yeah, not sure why she did that. Maybe just, like, proof?
I don't know. I think she just wanted to capture the moment because I think she thought he looked cute or something. But
I thought he did.
Shut up. So yeah, she takes a picture of him and we're like, okay, whatever. And you're like, I thought he never slept ever, and he somehow falls asleep just outside of her apartment. So he must have some special connection to her that makes him be able to fall asleep.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm. So then that night he catches her in her backyard with her cat, and she's talking to it. And so he records it so that he can hear what she's saying, because she was speaking in Chinese and he speaks Korean. So he had to translate it to Korean. And she tells the cat that what she really wants the cat to bring to her, instead of dead animals, as cats do, they bring dead animals as gifts to their owners.
Weird.
She wants her cat to bring her the detective's head. And we're like, oh boy, she doesn't like that detective.
I thought it was a detective's heart. Or was it the head?
I thought it was his head.
Maybe it's head. I don't know.
I wrote down head. But later, they talk about it. And she says, no. I said heart because I like you. Whereas before, when it's head, it's like, oh my gosh, she wants me dead, you know? But when it's heart, it's like, oh my gosh, she's in love with me. But yeah. And so she says that. And later that night, he watches her like, smoking and eating ice cream for dinner and
always
crying.
Ice cream for dinner.
She always had ice cream for dinner. And I think he liked that. I think he liked that she was like crazy. I don't know.
Yeah.
She didn't know how to take care of her, I guess.
That's usually the sequence of events that happens to me. I eat a whole pint of ice cream and start crying.
You don't eat ice cream. You would explode if you ate ice cream.
I would.
I don't want to have to deal with those consequences. You never really crave ice cream though, anyways, because I think you know it'll upset your timmy tummy.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Montezuma's revenge.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, so then his boss is like mad at him the next day for still working on this case of the guy falling off the cliff. Because his boss is like, dude, we got other stuff to work on. It's obvious it was a suicide. Like, just get it over with. Close the case.
Case solved.
Case, yep, that's what they say.
Mission
case solved. I think it's case closed.
Case closed. Case solved. Mission closed. Impossible solved. Sorry.
Okay. So his boss is mad at him, and his boss wants him to focus on the Jigoo case. So then he gets home to his wife, and he's honestly acting really weird. Like, he was out in the cold, standing on the porch, just like in his jacket, and she was like, why are you outside in the cold? And he was like, said he's admiring the sea. It's so beautiful.
He must be wise.
Because he's such a wise man. And she's like, yeah, sure. She's like, whatever, shut up. And then he says he wants a cigarette, and she gets so mad at him because she's very against the fact that he smokes. Mm. He used to be a smoke. And she instantly jumps to like, let me get you like something to alleviate your craving for smoking. And you can tell he's like annoyed by it. Like, he just wants to be like immature and like do whatever he wants whenever he wants. And it bothers him that his wife doesn't feel the same way as him, you know? So then he texts So-Rae, and she's like, come to my house. And I'm like, this is suspicious. Like, you are investigating her for murder.
Booty call.
And you are going over to her house right now? Uh-huh. That's exactly what it is. It was a booty call. So he goes over there, and he's shaving his face in the car on the way there, which, first off, I guess that means he really likes her and he doesn't want her to see his stubble. And second off, I feel like you would get so many tiny hairs in your clothes and it would be so itchy.
Yeah, that's true. I wouldn't know what that's like, but yeah.
Why wouldn't you know what that's like?
Because I can't grow anything out of my chin worth a shit. I grew a beard, it would look terrible. You want me to grow a mustache?
I
want to
see what the possibilities are. You know, I've never really gotten to experience it.
Well, set your standards pretty low.
Well, I was raised with a dad who I never saw without a beard. And you will never be able to grow a beard because your dad has never had a beard. So there's like no way. I wonder what our kids are going to be because my dad has a very strong beard.
That's true, I wonder.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
Yeah.
Moving on. So he goes over to her house and this is when you find out that the girl, Soray, actually killed her own mother because her mother asked for it. So it's kind of like euthanasia in a sense.
Yes. Yeah.
It was like a euthanasia moment. And that's why she said she became a nurse, was so that she could kill her mom in the correct way, knowing how she was killing her.
With fentanyl pills, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She gave her fentanyl pills.
Which, and there were extra fentanyl pills.
Yes, she had 4 extra fentanyl pills. Just for funsies. Yeah, just to keep.
I keep one around the house just in case I need it.
Don't say that. We do not. I don't even know where you would get that. I thought it was fentanyl, right? It wasn't formaldehyde. It was fentanyl.
It was fentanyl. Formaldehyde is a...
It would kill a person.
That would.
It's a preservative for human bodies, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, but it's like, it's not a pill. It's liquid. Right?
Well, pills, those pills had liquid in them. They were gel pills. They showed the pills.
You can get a formaldehyde pill. Let's get some of those.
I don't want those. I don't want any of the pills. I don't want any of your pills.
Take them.
Oh, yeah. And then so he, and then so he asks Soray, he's like, my man, why would you marry this guy? He sucks. And yeah.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Yeah.
And she talks about how she married him because he was the only person who was nice to her after she came from China. She had nothing when she got there on the boat. And he was nice to her and protected her and told her she was beautiful even when she smelled like poo-poo. So that's why she married him.
That's true love.
True love, exactly. So yes. So and so forth. Such as. I'm just quoting
Et cetera.
Jonathan. Et cetera.
Fun fact. I do really like the way they showed cell phones in this movie.
What do you mean?
Just the way how they were instrumental in the movie and the way that they showed them.
I do appreciate that because I always hated in movies when they pretend like people aren't addicted to their phones. Like, oh yeah, these teenagers are all hanging out, not just sitting on their phones all the time. Mm. Like, that's all that people do is they sit on their phones. We don't, because obviously we're amazing people. No, it's not what it is. I just get really bored on my phone.
It's true.
I get so bored.
You do.
Yeah, but yeah.
Anyways.
I think they did use phones well.
Director said that he used cell phone POV shots to show that the characters are not only looking at the screens of their devices, but to give a sense that they're actually looking at the other person. Because that happened a bunch. The like character would be next to somebody else when they weren't actually in that scene.
Yeah, for sure. They did that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I did like the perspective as if you were in the phone and you would see the reflection of the screen. It was pretty smart. I liked it. It was
at
cool.
times, I was like, wait, is that person actually there? No, they're just listening to a voice recording that she is recording at that moment.
Yeah. It was cool. I think it was well done, too. And then she does some sultry flirting. And she goes, does your wife know whose window you look into at night? And he was like, oh, my God. So that was her flirting. Yep. That's, I don't know. I don't know how to flirt. So I guess that's how the people do it these days. Yeah. So.
Watch through windows.
Then.
I'll take note.
The next day, he gets a report, like a police report, saying that her husband committed suicide. So he had decided and ruled that it was a suicide and it wasn't a murder. And he sends this to her to let her know, like, hey, it's just. It's a suicide. And his partner was really mad at him because his partner was like, you're not looking into the case just because you're attracted to this girl. Like, you just like her. The partner could see through it. And he was like, uh-oh.
Ain't no way. Ain't no way.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so then for some reason, he goes over to Soray's house, the partner. I don't know why he did that, but he did. And then the inspector goes over there. Hey, June. I really had to think about it. I had to think about it the way that you taught me to remember it. I had to just think about that. Yeah. So, Hey, June goes over to the house and he cleans up the house for her. And I'm like, why are you doing this? Like, why are you cleaning her house and making her dinner? Like, it was really weird. And the way he was cooking dinner for her, like, was the way he did it for his wife when he was, like, so in love with his wife. Mm-hmm. And, like, head over heels for her. And you can tell, like, I think that's his love language, is to, like, cook for.
Mm.
Cook for them. That. And that's what he was doing for So Ray now, instead of doing it for his wife. Mm-hmm. And he cooks her some stuff. And she walks around his house while he's cooking for her. And she sees a Chinese for Beginners book. And she's like, he's learning Chinese for me.
So sweet.
That's exactly what it was. He was learning Chinese for her.
And then she saw his whole board, right?
Yeah. Then so he has a bunch of pictures on the wall that are from cases that he hasn't solved. And she sees, like, the Jigu guy, and she actually helps him solve the Jigu case. And she's like, you should go look at the ex-girlfriends. I bet you he's still in love with them. And she was right. And they do that. They go check it out, and they find Jigu's boss, who's the real bad boy. And Jigu's boss, Sano. Am I making any sense right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Jigu's boss, Sano, is like the real bad guy. And he says he would rather die than go back to prison. So when they try to catch him, I think he's just kind of like a mobster in the area. Like, they don't really go into what his crime is. When they go to catch him, he kills himself so that he doesn't have to.
Well, first he stabs his partner like 4 times.
Yeah, that happened too.
And then he chased, yeah.
Yeah, that did happen. Which was probably good for the partner, because then he didn't have to run. He was probably fine with it.
I'd rather be stabbed than run too.
He would rather be stabbed than run, and Santa would rather die than go back to jail, I guess.
Santa would rather die.
Yeah, so that happened.
Santa.
No, Santa. I don't really know what the significance was of that case. Like,
I think it was just, I don't know if there was a whole lot of significance, but I think it showed Song Ray's intuition about him and his cases, and it was just another,
that she solved it, basically. She figured out where this guy was when they couldn't figure it out.
Mm-hmm. And then another just event during the movie. I'm not sure it
just happened to happen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so then that night So Ray goes over to his house, and she's like, I'm gonna burn all the pictures of the case that we just solved. You don't need these pictures hanging anymore. We solved the case. Now you'll be able to sleep at night instead of worrying about these cases. And so she burns the Sano Ray ones, and then he refuses to let her burn the ones of her, because she's like, well, you solved my case. My case is closed. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, girl, this is suspicious. To me, it looks like you try and get rid of evidence.
Evidence.
Evidence. Yeah.
Tampering of evidence is highly illegal.
It is highly illegal. But those were pictures that she wanted to burn. And he said no, because she looked too beautiful in them. And he wanted to keep them. And she let him keep them. So yeah, that was really romantic.
This was a romantic movie, though.
It was a romance, but like a twisted romance.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was like,
because yeah, then she like, she starts wanting to do things for him. Like, she wants to tuck him into at bed tonight at night, and he like, she lulls him to sleep. Like, mm-hmm. She wants to care, be a caretaker for him, like she is for like all of her patients. And he's like in love with her for it. He just thinks she's like the bee's knees.
But they never actually. Never mind. I'll talk about it later.
They never what?
I'll talk about it later.
Okay, do you have anything you want to say right now? Any fun facts or anything?
Very Hitchcockian vibes, and I dig it.
Yeah, you were saying that in the movie, that it felt like a Hitchcock. What about it felt like a Hitchcock to you?
Just the mystery, and it was very, very noir, I thought.
So noir.
Noir.
Yeah, I felt the noir as well.
I think even the director said that he was influenced by Hitchcock in this as well.
I thought it was cool, because it did seem like a Hitchcock. It was very twisted. It was cool. And I liked that was his inspo, and that you even noticed it. Yeah. You know, without having to Google it. You're so proud of yourself.
Thanks.
Yeah, just a little bit of a smile, like, yes, I did. I know things.
Also, fun fact. Actually, never mind. Get to it when you mention that.
Okay. Yeah, so the next day they go on a date. I don't know why, but they're walking around like this beautiful gardens thing. And he tells her that he likes her, and he shows her all the audio recordings that he made when he was staking her out, kind of talking about what she was doing and his suspicions and everything. And this is when she learns all about his fantastic pockets, and she learns where everything in his pockets are, as we discussed earlier, of course.
Yes. We discussed this.
Mm-hmm. And then for some reason, I wrote speed typers.
Were you just writing what you were doing?
I don't know, but I wrote speed typers.
Because they were texting each other really fast?
But I don't know how fast you can text in Korean. Maybe you can text way faster than you can in English.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Fun fact.
About typing.
Director.
The world record for typing.
36 million texts in a minute. Director Park Chan-wook has mentioned that he didn't like the idea of using many text messages in the film. Initially, he said that he considered making it a period piece in order for the characters to write each other beautifully handwritten letters instead of text messages on their phones. I can speak English.
Well, I think it was the way that the phones were used made it so good, though. So I think it's good he didn't choose that.
Decided on a contemporary setting. When possible, he had the characters use a smartwatch, voice recordings, and translation apps instead of typing.
So why did he do that intentionally? Because they use translation apps in smartphones and all that stuff a lot.
Yeah, instead of just having it be all texts. That's what he's saying.
Oh, because they didn't just want it to be texting the whole time? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that. I think the voice recordings were interesting. Okay, so this is when he starts to get suspicious of her. So Ray tells him that she needs his help. One of her patients is in the hospital, and she doesn't have time to go to her Monday patient, who is the patient that we had already been introduced to, the one who was her alibi, is her Monday patient.
The day that her husband died.
Yeah, the day that her husband died, she was supposedly with that woman. And so he's like, you know what? I will go watch her for you. So, hey, Ray.
Hey, Ray.
Wait, what was his name? Hey, June.
Hey, June.
I'm so sorry.
I forgot to.
Hey, June. Hey, Ray. Hey, June is like, okay, so Ray, I will go and I will watch her for her. And this patient is her Monday patient, as I have said. And she says that the wife, or not the wife, I kept writing the wife because I didn't know her name at the time. She says that So Ray used to have extremely soft hands and that she doesn't have soft hands anymore. And she's super old. She's kind of out of it. And he realizes that this lady has no idea what day of the week it is. Yeah. She just knows that if So Ray is there, it's a Monday, because So Ray is always there on Mondays. And so he's like, huh. Is she really a solid alibi to say this girl was here on Monday? She doesn't even know what day it is today, because So Ray's not there. She doesn't know it's Monday. And so then he's like, huh, that's weird. And then the old lady wants to play a song on her phone, but she can't use it. So he's like, let me help you. And he's like, oh, you have too many apps open on your phone, so it's not going to load as fast. So he closes out all the apps, and then he finds she has like her fitness app open, and it tells you like how many flights of stairs you climbed that day. And he sees that she's climbed no flights of stairs, except for one day she climbed 138 flights of stairs. And
pretty
he's
impressive.
Like, there is no way this old lady could climb 138 flights of stairs in one day. And she tells him, she's like, I haven't left my apartment in 10 years. And he's like, I think there's something wrong with this situation.
I think it's highly suspect.
And he realizes that So Ray probably had that phone on her the day that her husband died and she climbed the mountain.
Good old switcheroo.
Good old switch-o-roo. So it turns out he goes to the mountain and he's like, I'm going to climb this mountain with absolutely no mountain climbing experience, yes, which I first off thought was stupid. He could
went for it.
What was ridiculous about it was he climbed the mountain so that he could find out how many flights of stairs it was. But I was like, my dudes, you can just look up the altitude of the mountain and calculate how many flights of stairs it would be. Like, you didn't have to do that.
He also wanted to figure out how she,
like, how she hid and how she did the route.
Her husband seeing her.
Yeah, so he basically does the whole thing, and his hands are all calloused and everything from it. And he's like, this is why her hands aren't soft. She has no soft hands because
soft
she was rock
hands.
Climbing. And this is when he's like, oh my God, she actually did kill her husband. And honestly, she shouldn't have gotten away with it. The only reason she got away with it was because she wooed Hae-jun.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only reason she got away with it.
So then he goes to confront her about it, and she confesses that she's faked all of the documents, that she was lying, and she burned the cop photos and deleted the voice recordings on purpose to get rid of evidence. And he says that she pretended to like him so that she could get off of his suspect list, and he's super mad at her. But my thing is, like, my dude, you're mad at her for using you to get out of this criminal case, but you're literally emotionally cheating on your wife right now.
Yeah.
Like,
would be cheating. Yeah.
You are in no position to, like, be judging her for, like, basically cheating on you, with air quotes around it. And yeah, then he admits that he lost his way and it messed up the case, and he says that he is now completely shattered.
That was the theme.
Completely shattering. Yeah. So that was the theme. So that's kind of the end of the first chapter.
That's the first act.
Yeah.
Fun fact. During that mountain climbing scene he's doing, it plays Mahler's Number 5.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, huh? Yeah.
Just like out of Tar.
Tar, yeah. So
was that on purpose, or is
two
it just,
movies,
is this a dramatic song?
Two characters were haunted by the Mahler's Number 5.
Mahler, my man.
Making another presence.
Mahler be ballin'.
What but yeah,
baller.
I thought that was really
Mahler.
Notable.
That is ironic, actually, because that was a big song from the movie Tar this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, so also before the end of the chapter, this, in my opinion, I would consider this a chapter. He tells her that he bought the old lady a new phone, and he gives her the old lady's phone. He's like, get rid of it, because it has the stairs on it, like, it will get you incriminated for the crime.
And throw it into the ocean.
He says throw it into the ocean, in the deepest place you can find, so that nobody can ever find it. And that kind of comes around full circle later. And she thinks that he's saying he loves her. Like, that's how she reads it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that word is never even used in the film.
He never said he loved her, but yet it's like he knows that that was him saying he loves her.
Yeah.
And she knows that that was him saying he loves her. But he kind of, like, cuts off the relationship at that point.
Mm-hmm,
he ends up actually moving home to be with his wife.
To Ippo.
Instead of being long distance to Ippo.
Which is always very foggy and misty.
Yeah, it's a misty place. So at the beginning of this chapter, it's 13 months later. I don't know why 13 months exactly. I guess to show that a whole year and then some passed, and he's still troubled by the situation. Like, I think maybe that was the intention of it.
Yeah, and he's, like, completely discombobulated, pretty much.
Yeah.
He can't.
He's not functioning. He's not happy. He's still not sleeping. And they cut to when they do this jump 13 months later. They show him in a doctor's office with his wife. And the doctor has, like, a bunch of jellyfish on the wall behind him. And I thought that was good symbolism, because when she, back in the day, when So Ray had been lulling him to sleep, helping him sleep, she would tell him to feel like a jellyfish.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
And then he's sitting in this doctor's office with his wife and the doctor, talking about sleeping, looking at the jellyfish. And you know, he's just thinking about So Ray.
Oh, that's cool.
It was really smart. That. Yeah. Totally on purpose. Look at me catching things. And so the guy basically gives him, like, random stupid crap to help him feel, to potentially help him sleep, and it doesn't work at all.
Soft-shelled turtles.
Uh-huh. And then his wife, I didn't understand the significance of the pomegranates, but there was a scene when him and his wife were, like, gutting pomegranates. I don't know what you call it, but they're
seeding,
like, sitting on the floor, like, seeding hundreds of pomegranates, and they're talking about how he's not happy and she can tell. But I wonder, was there, like, a symbolism to the pomegranates?
I don't know. I did not read, did not find anything out about that.
Yeah,
because I was confused about that too.
And, like, she, I don't know, I feel like there should have been significance to it, but I don't know what it was. Maybe, like, it was gory and murdery, like, kind of looks like blood and guts, I don't know. But then she also says, like, maybe you should drink turtle juice, because maybe that could make you happy. And that, I think that comes full circle later with the turtles.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll talk about it when we get there. But yeah, she thinks that he's not happy because he isn't, there are no murder cases.
And that's nothing
what,
to do.
That's what drives him and gives him purpose. And because there's no, like, big crimes in Ippo, like there were in the city that he lived in.
Busan.
Train to Busan. Don't they have zombies there?
Have you seen that movie?
No, but you talked about it.
A good zombie movie.
Maybe we should watch it. Is it in Japanese or, sorry, Korean? Is it in Korean?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I might need a break from having to annotate movies in languages I don't speak, because it's pretty hard going the whole time.
It's a lot more simpler than this movie is.
Okay, good. Yeah. Yeah. So then this is when they cut to So-Rae being beat up by somebody. And she's like in this bougie house. She's got all these expensive gift bags. And you're like, what? And you find out that she actually remarried in the past year to a guy who has a lot of money, but he's kind of a bad guy. And he has a lot of money because he rips people off. And so that means he has a lot of enemies, and there's a lot of people chasing him, and they're beating her up because she is this bad guy's wife, basically.
Slappy.
Yeah. Slappy. Was that the guy's name? Yeah.
Slappy.
So Slappy was beating her up, and he was like, you stole my mom's money. You need to get my money back. If my mom dies, because his mom fell ill after the money got stolen, he was like, if my mom dies, I'm going to kill your husband. Which comes full circle later, so everybody remember that. Yeah. So she's like, we need to get out of town, my love, to her new husband. And he's like, where should we move? And she's like, I know the perfect place. We are going to move to Ipoh. Yep. So they move there, and they actually end up running into Haejun and his wife. Mm-hmm. And it's a very uncomfortable interaction at a fish market.
Significance of that?
I don't know. I feel like there should be, but I can't think of any.
Oh, yeah.
Fish? Something fishy?
Branzino?
What's Branzino?
It's a type of fish.
Oh, you're talking about New Girl.
Yes.
off topic. But it was a very Ako Taco. And there's a moment when you can see So-Rae and Haejun are like vibing with each other.
Because he's just been depressed for so long that he can't get her off of his mind.
Yeah, he's just like, he just sees her and he's like starstruck basically by seeing her again. Mm-hmm. And she's got like ugly blonde highlights. She's like, I don't want to say this and be offensive, but you can tell she is like dating a guy and they're a trashy kind of rich. You know what I mean? Like they just seem like fake rich, you know? From like the way they dress and their clothes, it seemed like they were trying to look rich, even though they weren't particularly, which is true. They had actually been stealing money and they weren't actually rich.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, they didn't have any money. He just like wanted to appear like he was rich. That night, he's gutting a fish from the fish market. And you hear that there is a new murder. And the wife is like, congratulations, there's a new murder.
There's been a murder.
And so he goes to investigate the murder. He's like, why is there a murder in Ipoh? Like, this is a place there like should be no murders.
Curious.
This is ridiculous. And so he shows up, and it actually turns out that it is So-Rae's new hubby. And he has been stabbed a million times. And he is sitting in a drained pool. And there's no blood anywhere. Just like the last case. There was no blood. Mm-hmm. He was washed clean. And he goes up to her and he's like, you better have a solid alibi this time. Mm-hmm. And so she has no alibi. She says that she went on a walk and she didn't have her phone. So they can't even track her to prove it. And she says, actually, I don't even understand what I wrote here. It doesn't make any sense. But yeah. Basically, she says that her and her husband had moved to Ipoh to avoid creditors because he was like, why the heck are you here? Why is this happening? Is the reason that you came here to kill this guy and then it would be in my jurisdiction and then I had to take the case and then we would spend a bunch of time together, basically?
Because that would just make my day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he draws the conclusion that this is not a coincidence. And it is very unusual. And he kind of confronts her about it and she's like, and then this time when he's investigating and he's interrogating her about it, he gives her like crappy food instead of like the deluxe sushi. And she's like, are you kidding me? Like, you're not going to treat me like a princess again? Mm-hmm. And she's like pissed off about it, which I thought was kind of funny. Like that shot where she was like, I'm sorry, a corn dog?
I would love a corn dog.
A corn dog is not sufficient. Mm-hmm. So then they were talking to a bunch of witnesses about it. And the witnesses said that she was wearing a green dress. Not when she murdered him, but that day she was wearing a green dress. And he thought it was weird because when they took her into the station, she was wearing a blue dress. And they were like a green, blue dress, a blue, green dress, unusual. And so then they deducted from this with his detective skills that she must have changed because she had blood on her. At least that's what I deduced. That's what I had thought. But in reality, she was just wearing a dress that faded from green to blue, basically. Mm-hmm. And so he goes to see her that night for some reason. I don't know. He goes to her house, already putting the investigation in jeopardy, doing stuff he shouldn't do, going to see this woman in the middle of the night. And he's suspicious of her. And she said she had no choice, that this was the only way that she could see him. And he's like, where is the dress? Like the dress that turns green to blue. And she was like, instead of being like, he's suspicious of me, she was like, oh my God, you noticed. You noticed.
Oh my God.
It's like those memes when they're like, you think I'm skinny? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
No? There are all of these memes online of like getting kidnapped by someone and them saying, get in that hole. And they're like, You think I'm skinny? Like they could fit in the hole. And it's like a joke. Like women will like, if you say anything, they'll be like, oh my God, you think I'm skinny? Like it's like a whole thing. Like that's how she was. She was like, she took it as a compliment when it was not a compliment at all. And so then he finds a piece of the dress burnt up because she burned the dress, and we're like, suspicious. And then she basically admits to him that she cleaned up the crime scene after he was murdered. Like she drained the pool, she cleaned him off, she washed the blood away. And then when they take her into the station, she says that she did it because she didn't want the police stepping on her husband's blood.
It's very considerate.
I actually don't know why she did it, why she cleaned it up. Like, did she want it to just kind of seem like the other murder case?
I don't know why either. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I didn't know if there's a significance to it or anything, but... Yep. He tells him to go check her audio recordings because he had wondered, does she have audio recordings just like me? So yeah. Then they figure out that Slappy, the enemy of her new husband, So Ray's husband, was in town that day. And they interviewed him, and he basically confessed to killing the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, excusez-moi. And he's like, hey, June is like, I'm not going to take this. I don't think this is what happened. It doesn't make sense. It's too easy. How is it that this guy killed her husband and she's had two dead husbands in less than like 2 years?
Not great ratio.
It's not good publicity. That's all I got to say.
Those are rookie numbers. You got to bump those up.
Exactly. So yeah, they track the hubby's burner phone and they find out that it was actually thrown into the ocean at the same place that witnesses saw So Ray in her green blue dress, and he's like, suspicious.
Yeah, because he's like evaluating.
Why would you do that?
Arm, like, why would that be in that position at that time?
Because she was throwing the phone, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she was throwing the phone.
That's what he was questioning.
Yeah, because she was doing like a Hail Hitler moment in the picture. So that, just so everybody can picture what she was doing in the picture and why he was confused by why she was doing it. Yeah, it could have been a total cult moment. You know what I mean? She could have been a neo-Nazi. You never know. Yeah. So then his new partner, his partner in this town, is like so annoyed by her. She's like, we have a confession, get over it, like leave this woman alone, like leave So Ray alone. And she, and he is like, it's suspicious. So this is when So Ray, he calls her and he's like, my dudes, this is not okay. Like, I get it, there was a confession and everything, but like, we need to talk. And so she's like, meet me at the top of a mountain. I'm going to spread the ashes of my dead mother and my dead grandfather. So they go to the top of the mountain. And this is when she's talking about how much she loves this mountain and how special it is to her and how it's her mountain. And I was like, I thought you were a woman of the sea. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So that is the conflicting part that we were talking about earlier. So they're at the top of this mountain together, So Ray and Haejun. And she's basically teasing him, saying like, I keep marrying these bad men because no good men will marry me or even notice me unless there is a murder involved. And he's like, you think this is the time for jokes? And then basically they kind of like resurrect their love.
And yeah, she told him that Ho Shin discover the phone recording with Hey June telling her.
Oh, her husband. Yeah.
Yeah.
Her husband discovered the phone recording where supposedly Hey June said he loves her, but he didn't.
Like, press X for doubt, my guy. I didn't do that.
Press X for doubt, my guy.
It's a meme.
I don't know that meme. I'm not in tune with the current memes of the days, so.
Well, I didn't get your meme earlier, so.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
And then he returns home, and then.
No. There's other things that they talk about. So she tells him that she missed him, and he says that he agrees, and he says that she is a suspect, though, and he can't cross that line. And he says someone is going to be watching her, and then she's happy about it. She's like, yay, he's watching me again. Like, it's just like that. You think I'm skinny? It's like, yes, he's going to watch me. I'm so happy. I need to just keep killing people so this guy will be in my life. Yeah, and then they spread the ashes off the cliff, and then she gives him a phone. I don't know why. But she gives him a phone.
With a phone with the recording on it, right?
I think so. I don't know. But the whole time, she has a headlamp on. Like a flashlight headlamp to like see things. And as, of course, you know, I wear them for fashion purposes. She was just wearing them to see where she was going.
Go on.
But she has this headlamp on. And the whole time she's talking to him, she is blinding him with the headlamp. And I thought it was so smart because it was like, the headlamp was like the symbolism of like she is fixated on him. Like that is what her spotlight is. And then the symbolism for him is like he is blinded by her.
That's
which
really
I thought
good
was really
too.
Cool. Yeah.
Dang.
Because the whole time they're having a conversation, she's blinding him with this headlamp. Yeah. And I was like, my dude, I would be so annoyed.
That'd be really annoying.
But I thought it was good, like showing their roles in the relationship. Both of them are like very much in an unhealthy situation with the way they're treating their relationship. But I thought it was good. Good little good symbolism. Note.
Something about Korean movies, scenes where it snows, it's just like a vibe. Because that happened in Parasite at the end. Happened in Old Boy at the end, too.
Snow is very eerie, you know?
I know, but something about
snow. Because it could also be like ashes.
In Korean movies, just it's a vibe.
It's very iconic, yeah. The snow was super cool. So yeah, it was snowing at the top of the mountain. And then you can tell they're super into it. Like they're both like very much like, this is it. I love this. And then they like make out at the top of the mountain. And then they go down from the mountain. And he finds out that his wife is leaving him.
Because she thinks he's having an affair with So-Rae.
She knows?
Was she?
I didn't know if she knew. I thought she just like was like feeling neglected.
Assuming that she, that he was having an affair.
Well, he basically was. But it was weird. They never like had an actual affair. It was like this like untouchableness of each of them.
Exactly. Everything was so.
They like, only kissed once.
And, yeah, for like, for a movie that's like technically a romance, I would consider it a romance. It's pretty tame.
It is a romance, and there's no. It's because there's no like, there's a physical aspect to it. It's like this, it's a psychological obsession that they have, that they're like in love with each other.
Mm-hmm.
They're like obsessed with each other, but it's not at all like physical, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was weird. They really did never kiss, and it must have been an intentional thing that was the only kiss that they ever shared. But that is also the only moment that they were like truthfully honest with each other, you know?
Uh-huh.
Sorry I yawn so much.
It's already 10:20. Jeez.
Oh, yeah. It's fine. My dudes. I'm on the last page. This is like the last of it. Yeah. So then we find out that So-Rae had actually gone to visit Slappy's dying mother, the one who was dying because she lost all her money to So-Rae's new husband, if you're following me. And then shortly after she died. And then the cop asks Slappy, he was like, did she bring pills with her? Did she bring blue green pills with her? And I was like, blue green pills. Doesn't that sound like the blue green dress?
That's even
isn't that cool?
Player.
She had been wearing that dress, like it was like her formaldehyde, you know?
Fentanyl.
Or fentanyl, yeah. It was her fentanyl, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
Like, I don't know. I thought that there was a lot of symbolism in that. Like, it was totally intentional that he said blue-green about the dress and about the pills.
You're right.
And, like, the dress had these, like, sparkly buttons on it that looked like the pills. It was cool. I thought it was cool. Yeah. And so, yeah, he ends up deducing that So Ray actually intentionally killed this guy's mom because she knew that that guy would kill her husband in return. And that's what she wanted. She wanted her husband to die. And then Hye-jun is like, oh my God, it's my fault that this mother and this man died because I let you get away with these murders, right? And then basically they have this whole confrontation. She's like, the second that you told me you loved me, then your love died for me and my love began.
Mm-hmm.
And she tells him to throw the phone away, her husband's phone. Very dramatic. Into the deepest parts of the sea. And then she goes, the same thing he told her
at the end of the first act.
And then she goes to the beach, digs herself a grave, and then sits in it until high tide comes up. And I'm assuming she drowns.
It fills up with sand and water.
It fills up with sand and water. And I thought it was very interesting because it's just like the end of his thing where she assumed him saying, go throw this phone in the deepest pit of the ocean. To her, that meant I love you. So then she buries herself and dies in a pit of the ocean.
Yes, exactly.
Like, I guess she, I don't know. She was definitely twisted for sure. Mm-hmm. She was a little messed up. I don't also don't know why she chose to kill herself.
Because like, why was that the resolution? She'll always be like an unsolved case in his mind.
Oh, and that's what she wanted.
She wanted him to always be thinking of her and loving her. Well, quote unquote, loving her.
So she never wanted him to be able to have her? She wanted to torment him for the rest of his life?
Yeah, because after...
But I thought she was in love with him. Like, what? His wife just left. They can be together.
Well, yeah, not...
But you know what? It's one of those relationships that you know wouldn't work out. Yeah, if they could actually be together.
That's true. So... Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Well, at the end, then he is like searching the beach looking for her.
Mm-hmm. And it's really a very upset. Dramatic scene.
It's pretty dramatic, yeah.
And I do like that he didn't just find where she was right away.
He never
like
some found other, where she
yeah,
was.
He never found where she was. Or he didn't look where she was immediately, like some movies do.
Yeah, and he looked all over the place. Yeah. And then he got to where she was, but he didn't know that she was there.
Yeah, so back when she was looking at his apartment... she saw all of his unresolved cases on the board. And so whenever a case ends, it leaves the cork board or the board and leaves his mind. They become part of the past and it's no longer what he's thinking about in his heart and mind.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't want that.
So because she'll be an unsolved case, she'll always be on his board.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
The only way she can find to convey her love and desire is to become an unsolved case. Yeah, it's really a brilliant ending because as soon as Hye-jun left at the end of the first act, like she was only thinking about like the moment your love died, mine began.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that his love has died, maybe she thinks if she dies, his love will begin again or something. Potentially. I don't know. Overall, I thought it was a good movie. I thought like it was enjoyable. It was definitely like very deep and twisted. Like you had to be on top of it to follow it. But overall, I was pretty happy with it. I mean, it reminded me a lot of Parasite, like very much. And really? I really enjoyed the dialogue of it as well, even if it was hard for me to understand. And it was partially just hard for me to understand because I was like trying to type while I was watching it to kind of keep up with everything.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So now we need to talk about what movie we want to watch next week because we haven't planned it yet.
Also, the director's trademark, he's always got an octopus in his movie. So there are multiple octopuses hanging in the background.
He's always got an octopus in his movie. Oh.
And Old Boy, the actor, eats a live octopus. It's a really gross scene.
Ew. Don't octopuses like still move though when they're dead?
True, technically, yes.
Why do they do that?
Well, because they cook them alive, and then they just kind of wriggle around. And...
Yeah, I guess.
But yeah, this movie is like a giant puzzle, and it's great. It's all the better for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. I want to start talking about like more calm movies. So I think we should talk about 65. There were some funny parts in it.
That's true.
Yeah. Not every movie needs to be super intense and long. So.
True.
Yeah. We're going to do 65 next time. Okay. Bye, my dudes.
Bye.